I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15 if you have not already. John chapter 15, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 17. I should have just had you remain standing for the scripture reading. Let's stand out of respect for God's Word. We're going to stand in unison, read the Lord's Word. And if you have trouble standing, you feel free to be seated. Let's begin together in unison. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. We're continuing this morning our series in the Gospel of John. This message in chapter 15 comes on the heels of the call to obedience that we looked at in chapter 14. Actually, really over the past several weeks, the call to obedience and the Spirit-empowered life. And this morning, I want us to look at the theme that we are called to bear fruit. That as Christians, we are called to bear fruit. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we come now to Your Word. And Lord, we ask that You would set us apart in these moments, Lord, to hear from Your Spirit, to teach us and to guide us into the truth of Your Word. Lord, we bow in our hearts in submission to the truth and the authority of Your Word. And we ask You give us ears to hear and hearts that will obey You. In Jesus' name, amen. In the summer of 1968, me and my family moved to another home. We were living in a small home on a very, very tight, small lot in Bricktown, New Jersey. And my father had gotten several promotions working through the state of New Jersey, and we moved to a bigger home over in Toms River, New Jersey. And it was a bigger lot. It had about an acre and a half of ground on it. And one of the things that my mom and dad were just thrilled with was on the property there was a bunch of fruit trees. And, you know, as far as I was concerned, I said, oh, great, woohoo, you know, trees to climb. That's what I was interested in. And one of those trees was an apple tree. And this tree was huge. It was this big ball of a tree on the back of the property. And as we moved in the summer, so as fall was coming, we were expecting to see apples. We were expecting to see fruit, right? Because that's what an apple tree or another fruit tree does. It produces fruit. But guess what? As we got into the fall and we looked, there was no apples. And my dad was really puzzled and kind of frustrated with this. I thought, that doesn't make any difference to me. It makes it easier to climb. But my dad was a little concerned and a little upset about it. So my dad went and studied up on it. He learned a lot, self-learning. And he learned that he had to prune the tree. He had to prune the tree. So my dad went out in the afternoon, and he starts cutting, lopping off branches. And by the time he's done, this thing looks ugly. I mean, it's a bunch of like sticks sticking up everywhere. I'm like, what did you do to my tree? I can't even climb it now, you know. And of course, he wasn't concerned about that. I thought he was making a mistake. But guess what happened the next summer and going into fall? These little buds began to form into apples. And into the fall, these large, sweet, I guess they're not really sweet, Macintosh apples, kind of sweet sour, apples formed on this tree. My dad had pruned that tree so that it would become fruitful. As we look at this passage of Scripture, in the same way, Jesus is looking at us, and guess what? He's expecting that there's going to be fruit in our lives. Jesus is looking at us, His people, His children, and He's expecting that there's going to be fruit in our lives. In fact, we read just a moment ago, verse 16, Jesus says to His disciples, He wants to set them straight and help them understand something. He says, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you, and I've appointed you to go and bear lasting fruit, fruit that remains. I've chosen you to bear lasting fruit." Well, Jesus uses a metaphor. Like the apple tree, He uses a metaphor, and the metaphor is the grapevine. Now, how many of you have grown grapevines in your yard or your farm or that kind of thing? Anybody? Perhaps several of you. I've not done that, and so, you know, to be honest, my learning is pretty much book learning. I've never done it myself. I've certainly ate the grapes and enjoyed those and enjoyed spitting the seeds at kids. But don't know much about the vine itself, except what I've learned from the Scripture and in my study of it. But He uses this grapevine metaphor. Now, interestingly, throughout the Old Testament, Israel has been likened to a vine. In several places in the Old Testament, God talks about Israel, His people that He has called to be His own. He calls them a vine. In Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, He talks about Israel as the vine that He called out of Egypt, and He planted that vine, and He nurtured that vine, but guess what? There wasn't any fruit on that vine. Or there was rotten fruit. And Jesus picks up on this metaphor that the Jewish people of that day, they would have understood immediately. See, for us, we're maybe not quite sure how to make the connection here, but the people of that day, knowing that they had once been called the vine of God, they immediately picked up on it when Jesus starts this metaphor. And look with me at verse 1, look what Jesus first says. He says what? "I am the true vine." He says, let me correct you guys. When God talked about you as a vine, it wasn't very good. The fruit that you bore was rotten. And you know, the people of Israel are like kind of scratching their head like, "Oh, okay, you're right, but I thought we were the vine." Jesus says, "No, I'm the true vine." In other words, Jesus is the picture, Jesus is the embodiment of what God intended for His people from the beginning. Jesus was a man who served and fulfilled the law perfectly, perfectly obeyed God, and so Jesus is the true vine. And so He sets that straight in the beginning. He uses a metaphor about Himself, and then He begins to talk about us. He says, "I am the vine, but you are the branches." So a little bit of adjustment in the picture of the vine. So I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. Notice as He states the metaphor, verse 2, He immediately deals with something. He deals with fruitless branches. Verse 2, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, that's a scary verse, isn't it? And immediately when you hear it, you're like, ooh, kind of like me. Lord, sometimes I wonder if I have any fruit in my life. Are you going to cut me off, Lord? Well, guess what? I don't think He's talking there about folks that struggle like I do. But rather, I think when He talks about fruitless branches there, He's talking about those who really are hypocrites, those who pretend to be His people, those who play games with God, and when God looks at their life, there isn't any fruit there whatsoever. And like a vine in which there are branches that have no fruit, just like my father saw these branches that had no apples on them, what did he do? He cut those branches off because he knew those branches would not bear fruit unless they were pruned. If you and I play games with God, He will prune us. He will prune us because Jesus has a calling. He's chosen us for a purpose, and He's told us He wants us to bear fruit, true, lasting fruit. And so, if I have no fruit in my life, and let me put this out here gently but firmly and truthfully, if I have no fruit in my life, I have to ask the question, am I a true follower of Christ? If I have no fruit in my life. Now, I didn't say if I have even a little bit. No, that's not the point. He says that there is what? No fruit. You see, when we come to Christ, we begin to grow, and there may be just a little bit of fruit in our lives. But there's some. Amen? There's some, and I'm growing. And God begins to show me issues, and I begin to deal with those things, and I grow. But if there's no fruit whatsoever, and yet I think I'm a Christian, and I profess that I'm a Christian, and I'm not showing any fruit in my life, any fruit of repentance, any fruit of good works, any fruit of love, any fruit of peace, of joy, all of these things, I have to ask the question, am I a true follower of Christ? I need to put that out there because the Word puts it out there. Oh, but He has better thoughts. He says, and while every branch that does bear fruit, some fruit, He prunes them. So, even if you have fruit, you're going to get pruned too. If you don't have fruit, you're going to get pruned. If you have some fruit, you're going to get pruned. Pruning is going to happen. Discipline is going to happen. Expect it. Embrace it. Know that God wants to do that in your life and in my life. Why? He says that's the only way that you'll be fruitful. When you cut off those branches, typically those branches are dead. They've lost their ability to be a conduit of the life-giving sap, right? That's what produces the fruit. The branch itself does not produce the fruit. In a few minutes, we're going to see that. Jesus says that. And so the main point that I want to mention to us this morning is this, that Jesus has chosen us to bear lasting fruit, which is a transformed life of love, reaching out, obedience, all these things. And see, then He loves through us and impacts other people. He loves other people. He impacts their lives as we reach out, as we love, He impacts their lives. And that's why we're called the body of Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches. We are the hands, the feet, the eyes, the nose, the ears of Christ. Not literally, but spiritually, figuratively on the earth. God does His work through the church. Please understand that if you snub the church, if you don't love the church, you don't love the body of Christ. Now, has the church, in the organizational sense of it, has the church failed through the centuries? You bet. We have failed greatly. And there are a lot of atrocities, wars, crusades that have been attributed to Christ, and therefore people have a hard time distinguishing between the church and these atrocities and these horrible things. That was not the true church. That was a man-made organization, and man-made organizations today that still fail at times. But please understand, that's not the true church. The true church is you and me abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, doing the work of Christ day in, day out. I understand those things that have been stumbling blocks for people through the centuries. But you know what? Here's what bothers me. You never hear the good that the body of Christ is doing throughout the world, day in, day out, been doing it for centuries, will do it until Jesus comes again. You never hear about that. You never hear about Samaritan's Purse, which is a Christian relief organization, or Comma Services, which is the Christian relief organization of the Christian Missionary Alliance. You never hear on the news about how they've gone to these countries that have been devastated, and guess where the money is coming from? It's coming from the pockets and the hearts of believers like you and me. And so when a country like Indonesia experiences the horrible tsunami last 2 years ago, guess what? Samaritan's Purse, Comma Services, and 100 other relief agencies were there giving out the love of God from the hearts and the pockets of you and me, the church. God loves the church. He created it for His glory and to accomplish the work of Christ. God loves the vine, His Son, and God loves the branches. And He wants us to bear fruit. And He wants to love and impact other people through us. Well, as we read this word, He prunes, He cuts off. What does that mean? Well, He's talking there about discipline, isn't He? Discipline, that's not a fun word. You hear it, you're like, discipline. We need to understand why God disciplines us, don't we? Sometimes we think, oh, God's punishing me. You know? He's punishing me for my sins. I did something bad, and boy, I'm getting what I deserve. Guess what? That is not biblical thinking. That is not a biblical view of God and the way He operates. No. He always disciplines and chastises us for our good. And He does it out of love. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Mark Turbitt is going to read that scripture for us.
In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you." Because the Lord disciplines those He loves and punishes everyone He accepts as a son, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father?
So we see God disciplines us out of love. He does not punish us out of hate, out the fact that we're bad. In fact, Psalm 103 says He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. If that were the case, we'd all be dead and gone. No, He doesn't treat us according to our sins. Rather, He treats us as sons and daughters. That word's generic. He treats us as sons and daughters. And so He disciplines us, and He says He disciplines us for our own good. He says, endure discipline, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son or a daughter. And so, when things happen in your life and you can't understand it, understand that God is going to use that hardship you're experiencing. He's going to use it as discipline. He's going to use it for your good. A lot of times, we do things that we shouldn't do. Right? We mess up. We fail. We sin. Sometimes we know something clearly in the Word, and yet we choose to do it anyway. We're dealing with a friend right now that is making a decision to disobey a scriptural command. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us, believers, that you are not to be yoked together with an unbeliever. And so if you are single, the Scripture tells you, do not marry an unbeliever. Do not yoke yourself together with an unbeliever. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that. It's just cut and dry. It's the way it is. You can't get around it. She is choosing to marry an unbeliever. And we've urged her, you are going to bring great grief into your life. You are going to bring great hardship and struggle and sorrow into your life because you are yoking yourself together with an unbeliever. Well, I love him. You may love him, but you're going to end up with a great struggle in your life. Please understand, will God still work through those circumstances? Yes, He will, because He's so gracious and He's so kind and merciful to us. But you will struggle. You know, God really has a hard time blessing what He says don't do. Does that make sense? If God says don't do something, and yet we choose to do it, we can't really expect Him to bless that. That's kind of like illogical thinking. But a lot of times, our emotions overcome us. Our heart is captured, and we are overcome, and we make this decision. And so God disciplines us when we make those kinds of choices, when we embrace things that He does not want for us, and He does it, why? For our good. For our growing. It's like that tree. That tree won't grow without those branches being trimmed. The fruit won't be born unless the branches are pruned. Well, how do we bear lasting fruit? I mean, let's get down to a practical application of this. How do we bear fruit? How do we bear lasting fruit? As I said last week in our sermon on obedience, that there's a part that we have to play. You don't just come to Christ and He just does everything for you. No, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate with the grace of God. We have to cooperate with the Spirit of God who brings to our hearts and our lives the godly choices that we have to embrace. And He begins to break the patterns of bad behavior, destructive habits, destructive relationships. He begins to knock off those sharp edges in our life. And sometimes that's not too much fun, is it? I wonder if a tree could scream. I wonder if it would scream when we're pruning it. Sometimes we feel like screaming, don't we? God, why are you doing this to me? You know, you feel like your arm's being cut off or your heart's being torn out. And God's disciplining you. He knows it's painful. But guess what? I've said this before, He is more interested in your spiritual, eternal well-being than He is about your temporary physical well-being. Or your comfort. He is. And sometimes He'll let you suffer. Sometimes He'll let you suffer for your choices. And again, He's a gentleman. He won't force it. And so there's a cooperation that we must employ with Christ. We have to cooperate with His grace. Through the power of the Spirit, we have to embrace. Number one, how do we bear lasting fruit? It says, remain in Me. Remain in Christ. We see it in verse 5, verse 7, verse 9. He says it over and over again. Remain in Me, and I will remain in you, and therefore you will bear fruit, much fruit. It's amazing. Look what He says there. Verse 7, if you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Wow! That sounds like carte blanche, doesn't it? I mean, whatever I want, Lord, You're going to give it to me? Well, understand, He goes right on to say quickly, He says, this is to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. So, I'm praying to the Lord, oh Lord, please give me a Maserati. It's the transportation I need to go around and promote Tom Leonard Ministries throughout this nation. Guess what? God's going to probably say, "Guess you get a Volkswagen." A bug, yeah. You know, when we ask God for things for our own, to spend on our own pleasures, our own love, you know, James chapter 1, right? You have not because you ask not. And when you ask out of the wrong motives, that you might spend it on your pleasures. You wouldn't be asking that if you have the Spirit of Christ in your heart urging you on to bear lasting fruit. So, please understand, is there a possibility of abuse of that? Yes, there is. God puts Himself at risk. Did you realize that? You and I represent Christ, and yet He puts Himself at risk through that every day. So the choices that you and I make, we represent Christ, and you wonder sometimes why Christ, His name, is disrespected and impugned, and why? Because we make choices that sometimes don't bear good witness to Him. So we are to remain in Christ. What's this word remain mean? Some of the older translations, it says abide. Abide in Me, and I will abide in you. The word remain or abide means this. It means to dwell in, to live in fully. To stay in, to continue in. God wants us to live in Him through Christ, through the power of the Spirit, fully. He wants our lives to be fully lived out in Him, and He wants to live fully in us. And we talked about that closet last week, right? We won't go there again. And so He wants us to dwell in Him fully, continue in Him, stay in Him, and He wants to live in us as well. You see, branches don't produce fruit, they bear it. He wants us to be a conduit so that the blessings and the fruit can come out of our lives. I know in the Romans 12 class, Sunday school class, last week Ashley mentioned this, and I wasn't in the class, so I didn't know about this, but he was talking about the fact that when you surrender your life to Christ, continually surrender, you become a conduit of blessings. You become a conduit of blessings to your life, and you become a conduit of blessings to your family's life and to all those around you. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to be a conduit, a river, not a reservoir. But a branch can't bear the fruit by itself. It must have the nourishing sap that produces the fruit. We see that in the second part of verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. You know, it's kind of a... The metaphors that you could use there are very similar. How many of you use Wi-Fi? Use Wi-Fi internet. And isn't it frustrating sometimes that, you know, you're trying to go to a site and all of a sudden, what happens? The signal gets interrupted, right? At least if you're in my house. Or you're on your cell phone and you're having a very important conversation and all of a sudden it just blanks out. There's no more connection. And you can't accomplish... Yeah, you guys know what we're talking about. Yay, Centerville. You need to get some Verizon workers up there to figure that out. Anyway, when the signal is lost, when there's no more connection, you can't accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish, what you're trying to accomplish. It's the same thing here. If a branch is not connected to the vine from which the sap flows and the sap produces the life in the vine, so it is with us. We must stay connected to Christ. His life is produced within us as we're connected to Him, the trunk. So, to remain means to stay connected to Him, the source of our life. If we don't remain connected to Christ, then basically you're operating on your own. You're operating on your own. So we stay connected to the source of our life, to Christ, through His Word, and through His love. He says, remain in Me, remain in My love, remain in My Word. Okay? It's that daily connection with Jesus. Let's try to simplify it and make it practical in our lives. It's a daily connection with Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean I fall in and out of my salvation. That's not what it's talking about there. But it is meaning I have to stay connected with Him in order to receive fresh life. Right? Because all of us, including me, we all leak. Every one of us. I don't know about you, but in the mornings, I wake up and guess what? I feel empty. You know? You go to bed at night, and I encourage you as you go to bed, you know, take some time and thank the Lord for what He's done for you that day and just, you know, ask Him to continue to grow in you and continue to mold you into the image of Christ. And that's great. But when you get up in the morning, we feel empty. Like, there's no connection there. It's really limited. No connectivity. And so you've got to plug in. You've got to connect. You've got to get juiced up with Jesus. Amen? You've got to get juiced up. You all can say amen. Wake up a little bit here. Come on now. Get juiced up with Jesus. And I'm not talking about juice plus. That's good stuff too, but get juiced up with Jesus. You've got to get connected to Him. And so you get up in the morning and you spend a few minutes connecting with Jesus. I don't know about you, but first thing I do is I get in the shower. I've got to get in the shower. This old body, the old back, it's so stiff. My legs hurt. My brain hurts. You know, I get in that hot shower. I steam my eyes open so I can pour coffee in. And I get my brain working. And so I'm in the shower and then all of a sudden the thoughts start, right? Just the thoughts that start. The thoughts about this, thoughts about that. Work you got to do. People you got to talk to. All these thoughts start popping around. And guess what? You'll go like that the rest of the day if you don't connect with Jesus. He says, be still and know that I am God. And so you just take some time and you connect with Jesus. And one of the things I do, it's sort of a ritual for me in the shower, I just say, because that's the first thing I do. I know some of you guys say, oh, Pastor, I'm more spiritual than you. I get out of bed and I get right on my knees. God bless you. My brain's not functioning yet. I get in a hot shower and I steam my body into action, my mind into thinking, and then I say, Lord Jesus, first of all, I need you forgiveness, cleansing on this day, Lord. My sins, which are many, I need you to forgive me and just renew my spirit within me. And Lord Jesus, I just want to live with you this day. I want to walk with you this day. Lord, I can't walk this walk without you. I can't live this life without you. And you know, that's a simple prayer. And then you take some time to get into the Word. And as you do that, Jesus, by His Spirit, begins to just flow through you. Oh, it's that miraculous sense of God's Spirit flowing in you, refreshing you, filling you to overflowing. It's a daily connection with Jesus by His Spirit through the Word. And as a result, His love is poured out into us fresh, continually. And so, you know, we have to have the reservoir refilled, right? A while back we had a leak in our brake line, and Lou was so gracious to help us fix that with the brakes. And anyway, what would happen is, because the brake line actually at the wheel cylinder was leaking, I'd have to constantly go to the reservoir and pour in some fresh brake fluid. And if I don't do that, eventually it's going to run out and you're going to get air in the lines and your brakes won't work and all that. But it's the same with our lives. We've got to get the reservoir filled up every day. When we lived down in Irmo, South Carolina, right outside of Columbia, there was a dam that had been dammed up, and it's on Lake Murray. And what they decided to do, they decided to enlarge the dam because it was only a certain thickness, and they were very concerned that, you know, someone could place a small bomb. This was kind of after 9/11 happened. Someone could place a small bomb on that dam, could blow it up, and that thing would just flood the whole area. And so they took on this huge project to expand the dam, you know, like threefold size. But in order to do that, guess what? They had to drain the lake down. And they began to do that over a process of weeks and months, and it was absolutely amazing. When the water began to go down, you should have seen some of the stuff that was in there. Stumps, old wheels, old buildings that had been, you know, left there when they built the dam and flooded it. All kinds of junk in there. And guess what? God wants us not just to stay a reservoir, but bearing lasting fruit means He pours it in, He pours it out, we pour it out in our lives, and He begins to remove that junk that's in there. You see, if you and I, if we had our reservoir completely let out, we would find all kinds of junk and debris down there, wouldn't we? All kinds of stuff floating down the bottom. And Jesus flows through us. He fills us up so that we can pour out. And as He does that, guess what? That stuff starts flowing out. All the junk starts flowing out. You know? You have difficulty loving people. You have difficulty trusting people. You have difficulty, interacting with church folk because maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe you've been disappointed, as we all have, with church folk. And so there's a difficulty there, and God wants to help you in that. Whatever your issue is, God wants to flow through you, and He wants to flush it out. So we remain in Him. Number two, keep His Word remaining in us. We talked about that a little bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because there are other places we will do that. But we know the Word is the truth and informs us about Christ, doesn't it? It informs us about Christ. It informs us about the nature and revelation of God. And so we keep His Word remaining in us. How difficult is it for us to spend a little bit of daily time in the Word? But how many of you, like me, you struggle with that every day? I mean, let's be honest now. We struggle with it. Right? Some of y'all not only struggling with that, now you're lying. We struggle with it. You know, sometimes the Word is just, man, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't relate to me. You know, all this these and thou stuff. First of all, get a good translation. If you're here as a visitor, you may notice we use the New International Version. If you grew up on the King James Version like I did, and that works for you, God bless you. But if it doesn't work for you and you don't understand it, get the NIV, get a modern translation that makes sense, makes the Word of God understandable to you. That's what a translation is supposed to do. And spend some time in the Word. If you need some structure, get one of those Bible reading plans. Spend a little time reading the Word. It's amazing how easy it is. You can go through the day and you spend all this time, you know, emails and phone calls and speaking to people and visitors and things you got to do and errands you got to run, and you come to the end of the day like, I didn't even spend any time in the Word today. Oh, Pastor, that happens to you? Sometimes. I struggle with it just like you folks. Don't think I'm up here as some expert teacher of the law. Please don't think of me that way. I'm not. But I've made a commitment. Lord, I need to remain in Your Word. How am I going to be fresh in the revelation of the truth of Christ if I'm not getting into Your Word? Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have hidden Your Word in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against You. Those of you who are affiliated with Lighthouse Christian Academy, you say that every day. Every day. And what a beautiful reminder to get into the Word of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Joe Sanchetta will read that for us.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Is the Word dwelling in you richly? Are you letting it dwell in you richly? Are you letting the Word live in you, be a part of you, changing you, transforming you? That's what Romans 12 is all about. Guess what? That might be a good step. Come on out to Sunday school, 9 o'clock Sunday mornings, and focus on Romans chapter 12 as they're studying that chapter together. There's one way to get into the Word. Amen? A little plug for Sunday school. Ashley, you can say amen. Number 3, we remain in Him and bear lasting fruit by remaining, by obeying His commands. You just can't get around this command thing, can we? Just can't get around this obedience thing. You come back to it and see what really chapter 15 is Jesus is really kind of recapping a lot of the things He said. He's putting it in the context of a metaphor. And so we as the branches, here's the difference between us and branches. Branches don't have any choice in the matter, do they? You know, they kind of pop out of the vine and there they are. Right? You and I, we have a choice whether we're going to remain in the vine, stay connected every day. That's where the metaphor breaks down. You and I have this thing called free will, choice. So every day I'm going to make a choice. Am I going to connect with Jesus or am I going to be all dried up and crispy critter? And if you don't connect to Jesus, that's what your life will be like that day. It'll be dry and lifeless. You know, life will be hard and dry because you're not connected with Jesus. So, we remain by obeying His commands. And I want to end with this. We've seen this scripture before. But again, just to encourage and challenge us to remain in His Word, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 24, Dean Rhodes is going to read that for us.
Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Wow. We not only got to be hearers of the Word, but we got to be doers. See, because if we don't do the Word, guess what? If you just take this sermon, you know, these 20, 30, 35 minutes and counting, if you just take this sermon and you put it up on your God box shelf and you never review what God has said to you today, you don't review, you know, this is the reason we give you the little handout. I'll take a little note or two. What's God speaking to you about? What's He calling you to commitment about today? But you see, if you just go away, oh, that was a good sermon, praise the Lord, that's Tom, you know, hey, praise, that's good. and you just go away and you don't embrace, you don't take hold of what God is saying. It's not important what I say. Please don't ever think you're going to offend me. You know, Pastor, I didn't really get what you were saying. I understand that sometimes I don't get what I'm saying. You know? Hey, got an earthen vessel here. Got some cracks. Okay? Give me a little leeway. But whatever God is saying by His Spirit through His Word to you and to me, if we don't lay hold of that, and we don't grab hold and abide in it, remain in it, and obey Him, you're going to walk away like looking in the mirror and forget what you look like. Forget. You ever see somebody and you introduced and then maybe a few weeks, months later, you see that person again? You don't know who they are, right? Very few of us, and I try hard to remember names and things and faces, and I don't usually forget faces much, but you just completely forget. That's what you do with the Word. If you don't obey the Word and embrace it, you walk away from it, and 6 months down the road, the Lord's saying the same Word to you, like, it sounds familiar, Lord, and I think You said something about that before, but I don't remember. That's why. Because we're not actively being doers of the Word. Now, whatever the Lord is speaking to you, maybe this is elementary stuff to you, and you've got this stuff down pat, and praise God if you do. And know what? If so, I want to come talk with you, and you can help me. But we all need to abide in Christ by remaining in His love, remaining in His Word, remaining in that sense of connection every day so that we can be fresh and filled. Amen? I need it. I hope you sense a need for it too. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that Jesus is the true vine. And Lord, that we're not out here on our own. We don't have to try to do this thing, this Christian life alone, Lord, but we're connected with Jesus and His life is flowing through us, Lord. And I thank You so much for that. I thank You that You love us. And there's those times that when we need pruning and discipline, Lord, You do it because You want to grow us and You want fruit to be born in our lives, Lord. And I pray for each one here today, if they're struggling, if they're enduring that right now, hardship, and suffering, Lord, that You'll give them a biblical perspective to know that You are working in this for their good. Lord, may we embrace Your discipline, Your pruning, and not fight against You, what You're trying to do in our lives. And then, Lord, for those of us that You're calling to a deeper connection, Lord, help us to make a commitment right now, not to walk away and forget. So if you're here right now and you need to make a commitment to Jesus, Lord, I'm going to spend time with You, connecting with You every day. I want you to make a commitment in your heart right now to Jesus. You go ahead and do that. Jesus, thank You. You're so patient, so merciful, gentle with us. We love You, Lord. We thank You for speaking to us today. In Your precious name, amen and amen. If you're like me, you need to write things down. So if you've made a commitment to the Lord, write it down today. Write it in your Bible. Put it on a piece of paper somewhere. It's going to be right in front of you where you remember that commitment and follow through. Amen? We're going to dismiss in a moment. And as we do that, if you need prayer for any reason, come on up front and one of our elders and one of our deaconesses will be here to pray with you. Please don't leave if you have a need for prayer. Come and have that need met. Let's join hands in prayer. Amen. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other before you leave in the lobby. Amen. God bless you.